I've been doing a lot of soul searching, and what I find interesting is the story of David. He fell in very, very significant ways, but then picked up the pieces and built from there.
I just had a conversation with Al Franken congratulating him.
My wife's faith, the Catholic faith, she's there praying the rosary, and in the New Testament, Philippians is a section to be anxious about nothing, prayer and supplication, faith in God. I'm in the Jewish faith, and God has a plan. I believe that.
The president does say he believes marriage should be between a man and a woman, but he's opposed to the Defense of Marriage Act. He wants to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act.
A couple of special friends, Bishop Gene Robinson. Where's Gene?
Well, you may not have actually heard about this. It's a big story that didn't get a lot of press. Last month, President Obama disbanded the President's Council on Bioethics. Now, we noticed because some of our very best guests on the subject bioethical came from the President's Council on Bioethics. Gilbert Mylander, Leon Cass, Robert George, William Hurl, but all guests on issues, etc., all members of the President's Council on Bioethics. Why has President Obama disbanded this advisory council? And what does it mean? What is it a symptom of, if anything? We're going to be talking about the President's disbanding the President's Council on Bioethics with Colleen Carol Campbell. Welcome to Issues, Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Thursday afternoon, the 3rd of June. I'm sorry, it's the 2nd of June. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. After our conversation with Colleen, we'll spend a few minutes talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about women avoiding and, some of them, rejecting marriage. We'll also be talking about Buddhism, a brief introduction. Dr. Harold Netland will join us. He's author, co-author of a new book, Buddhism, A Christian Exploration and Appraisal. And then we'll talk about the visitation. The church remembers on this day Mary, the mother of our Lord, visiting the mother of John the Baptist, Elizabeth. And the song she sings, the Magnificat, is a significant part of those first chapters of Luke's gospel. That's later with Dr. Peter Scare. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Colleen Carol Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Is the dissolution of the President's Council on Bioethics by President Barack Obama unexpected?
Well, not entirely, but the way in which he did it was rather unexpected. First of all, he did it very quietly, and of course the media colluded in that, but also very swiftly. According to a piece written by Peter Lawler, who's also a member of this now defunct council, the members had been told that they need not hurry on some major reports that they had that were forthcoming, that were almost finished. They had a meeting planned for June, so they assumed they were going to go at least until their charter expired in September. Now, it's not totally uncommon, of course, for a president to sack one group and create something of his own. That's of course, within his rights, and many presidents have done that. But what was interesting about the President's Council on Bioethics was the diversity of the council. You mentioned some of the guests that you've had on Issues, and I've had some of those same folks on my own show for EWTN, Faith and Culture, very solid thinkers, and many of them coming in from the Christian tradition. But there were also thinkers on the other side of some of these questions, particularly questions on the life issues, embryonic research, end-of-life issues. So there was a real spectrum of opinion on this council, and what was unique about it was that it wasn't created to be sort of a rubber stamp for President George W. Bush's policies. He's the one who created this in 2001. He really wanted and got a very diverse council, and they did some real tough thinking on difficult issues and came up with some really thoughtful reports. Again, sometimes not settling on one position or another, but airing the best possible case for divergent viewpoints. It was a real model in many ways of intelligent civil debate, exactly what President Obama says that he likes, and yet he quietly and quickly got rid of them.
I always looked at it as kind of like the National Security Council, where there is a lot of debate. It's intended to be that way because its primary function is to inform the president, to keep the president so that he has the best ideas in front of him and the best information in front of him that on subjects that are going to be of vital importance when he has to decide, am I going to sign this bill? Am I going to get behind this policy? Those kinds of things.
That's right. And when President Bush created the council, the first members that he put on it, and this was pretty consistent throughout, roughly half of them on this 18-member council didn't agree with the decision he had recently made on embryonic stem cell research. And many of them supported full throttle, ahead on embryo destructive research and cloning. Others were very vehement opponents of it. But so their job was to air these arguments, air these issues, but they were also given the mission in their founding document to provide a forum for national discussion and education about bioethical issues. So the idea was to really think through the moral and ethical implications of these constantly proliferating scientific and medical advances, to think through these advances, their implications, and to kind of ask the deeper questions that a lot of reporters don't ask, that a lot of average Americans don't even think of. That was their job, and that's why it was interesting that not only did they come from diverse places on the political spectrum and the ideological spectrum, they also came from a wide variety of disciplines. Both directors, first Leon Cass of University of Chicago and later Edmund Pellegrino of Georgetown, were medical doctors, but they also had a strong background in the humanities. And so it was a very well-rounded council, and their reports were really probing and thoughtful, really great grist for the mill for discussion and debate and for Americans to inform themselves on these issues. Sometimes they didn't get as much attention as they deserved, but they often did get some attention. And it was just a really interesting council, very diverse, and again, just a shame to see it disbanded.
So it sounds like this is not only a change of personnel, if you will, who will be advising the president, because he's replacing it with something else. You point out it's also a change of approach. You say it's a political approach now, political expediency and pragmatism over the model that was previously held in this council, that is debate and open information.
That's right. White House press officer Reed Sherlin had told the New York Times, in one of the few stories that even came out about the breakup of this council, that the president saw this council as philosophically leaning advisory group, and what he wanted was a new bioethics commission that focuses less on discussion and more on forming consensus around what he called practical policy options. They had Alta Chero, who's a University of Wisconsin law professor and strong Obama ally. A lot of people think she'll be the head of this new commission. She's very far left on a lot of these bioethics issues. She told the New York Times that the old council was a lot like a public debating society, whereas Obama's new commission will help him form ethically defensible public policy. So it's hard not to take away from this that the president thinks, in a sense, that philosophical questions are a bit of a waste of time for a bioethics commission, and that what they should be doing, instead of airing debates and different viewpoints on these very contentious and divisive issues, is he wants a group that's going to come to quick consensus and help him form public policy that sort of gets the ethical imprimatur from his council. So it's very hard to imagine he's going to be able to achieve what he wants with this new commission without stacking the deck with basically a group of like-minded political liberals, ethicists steeped in utilitarianism. That is the idea that, we just look at the end result. We don't worry too much about the means to get there, and we try to look at how this impacts the greatest number of people, for instance, instead of looking at something like the issue of the dignity of each and every human life. So, maybe Obama will surprise us with his appointees to this new commission, but he's already publicly said, or his spokesman has, that he doesn't want so much philosophy when it comes to bioethics. He wants to kind of push the ball forward and get some practical policy moving. And that really, I think, is an interesting approach coming from a president who often holds himself up and is held up as sort of a philosopher king, as this deep thinker who's all about discussion. And actually, he thinks his bioethics council was spending too much time discussing things.
Okay, then with only about 30 seconds here, just give us a list, if you would, of some of the subjects. We're not talking about philosophical discussion here, although it may be a philosophical underpinnings to much of the debate. We're talking about lives. We're talking about real issues that the American voters need to understand and know about. What would be the short list there, Colleen?
Well, certainly the implications of embryonic research, both cloning for research and cloning for reproduction, the ethics of genetic screening for newborns, of selecting the sex of an unborn child, and the struggle to care for aging loved ones in a society where we're going to have more and more Americans in their aging years having difficulty often finding the kind of care that they need, and families struggling to make ends meet and to care for them. This council also tackled issues of health care reform. So all of these things where Americans are deeply divided, and we need to hear the best arguments from all sides to figure out the best course of action. And if those arguments are shut down, we only hear from one side, and that side has already sort of been told that the fix is in, this is the policy we want you to endorse, which I'm afraid is what this new commission sounds like they're going to do. Well, we're really missing out, and it's unfortunate.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book, The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and you can read them by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Colleen, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Todd. Thanks for having me.
When we come back from this break, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us. We'll talk about women avoiding and, in some cases, rejecting the notion of marriage. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. this Thursday afternoon, July the 2nd. Stay tuned.